Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
The following will be a little bit shocking to you. Please let it be. Life is supposed to be fun. Who would think? Look with your inner eyes at your own faces, even as you're listening to me. Now, when I say life is supposed to be fun, I'm not talking about whoopee, although whoopee is fun sometimes, meaning you can go out and play and do stupid things that give you laughs, and you can play. Play is great, but play is only half the story. The kind of fun that I'm talking about, that we're going to discover as we go through the material I'm presenting, the kind of fun that I'm talking about is the fun of being freed. That's the kind of fun I'm talking about. The fun of finding out where it is that your life has been spent in a certain kind of unconscious slavery, a servitude. It's not an inaccurate word, and you'll see very clearly by the time we're done with the material that you have indeed, so far, spent your life not having fun, but trying to fulfill something that you took on at a very early age. More or less, it wasn't one's choice, and we'll get into that as well. A whole host of false responsibilities. And that these false responsibilities not only have served to wreck and ruin our relationships with others and the world around us, but have really left us with very little room to realize those parts of us that are... And it's true, those parts of us that are still kids, I don't care what age you are, that can actually have more fun. It's hard to explain this. You can actually have more fun than a six-year-old. When was the last time you had more fun than a six-year-old? But to do this process that we're going to take on, this process of discovering what it is that we need to understand to become freer and freer human beings and therefore more fun human beings. And by the way, how many of you like to hang out with people who are no fun? How many of you wish you could not hang out with yourself? Yeah, it is. It gets rough, doesn't it? You sit there and everything, they're hard and not right. Well, last idea before we start. Did you ever see Disney, what was it, the Mickey Mouse Club? Now, if you never saw the Mickey Mouse Club, a long time ago, it used to start with either Daffy Duck or Mickey Mouse or Goofy, and they would introduce the show. But in this instance, Daffy Duck would walk out with a big hammer. He would strike this giant bong, and instead of the bong ringing, the vibration would run down the mallet's handle into poor Daffy Duck, and he would shatter. Light. The light of understanding is intended to shatter the bonds that presently hold you down. The light of understanding is intended to help a human being begin to break out of those kinds of conditions that are always the expression of an unconscious action in them, to where they literally, it's not inaccurate, they literally shake off an entire false life with all of the things that are restrictive in it. So, here we go. A man realized something was terribly wrong with his life, so not knowing what else to do, because he'd been to see experts all over the world, had reached the point where he thought he was going to have to live with what he knew wasn't right about himself. And then one day, he was looking through the newspaper, and right there, an ad, it said, "Feeling heavy." He said, "Well, yeah, that's part of my symptom." "Feeling as though you're full of pressure." "Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel as well." "Are you just not having any fun?" He thought, "Yeah, that's it. I feel pressure. I feel heavy. I'm not having fun. How does this guy know the symptoms? I'm going to go see him." So he picks up the phone, makes a phone call, makes an appointment, and goes sees the doctor. He gets to a little tiny place, which is in the human mind already, that doctor can't be any good. A little room, no magazines, no receptionist. He walks in, he rings the bell, thinking he's going to wait for 30 minutes, but right away, door opens, and there's a little doctor. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Looked kind of like the little Wizard of Oz guy. "So what can I do for you?" He said, "Well, I've got all the symptoms you've described, so I'm looking to get better." And then the doctor said, well, come on in. Open the door. They walk into another little room. He sits down in a chair. The doctor sits across from him. And he says, tell me what's wrong. He said, well, he said, if I was to be honest with you, I don't know. I've been to see everybody. Nobody can help me. His doctor said, how long have you had these symptoms? Now, please bring yourself into the story at this point, will you? How long have you had these symptoms? Do you understand that human beings have lived with symptoms of unhappiness, of sorrow, of stress, so long that they have become accustomed to carrying it around with themselves as a mantle of some kind of glory? Look at how much I suffer. Look at my life. The man said, Doc, I think it started, I was 12 or 13 years old if I look back. Whew, doctor said, yeah, that's done. I'm going to make some notes. He goes through the rest of the symptoms. He says, well, come here. Stand up here. And the fellow stands up. And the doctor takes out a strange little flashlight dealy bob and turns it on. And a little blue light that he looks through comes on this little lens. And the doctor looks at the fellow through this little lens with the blue light coming out of it. And Doc shakes his head, just like I thought. Man says, what do you mean, just like I thought? He said, I have good news and I have good news for you. The good news is that what you have is a fairly advanced case of the woofers. Now, if you were in a doctor's office and he said you have a fairly advanced case of the woofers, what would you do? Just like the man, he said, you mean I've gone to the dogs? Hey. He said, yep. He said, well, what are the woofers? He said, come with me, I want to show you something. And there was another door in the little diagnosis room, and it opened up into a larger room that had mirrors on all the sides in the room, and on top and on the floor. It's a fully mirrored room. And the man felt a little uncomfortable immediately, because why am I walking to a room full of mirrors? Not to mention that, I don't want to really look at myself, because that's part of the, I'm just not happy with myself. Why would I want to see more of myself? And the doctor said, don't worry about this. He said, I'm going to show you. You want to know what the woofers are? Wait till you see. Come with me. Man walks into the middle of the room, stands there. Doctor walks over. He says, I'm going to close the door now. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Will you please remember in the process of freeing yourself, nothing bad can happen to you? Will you never forget that? The truth about yourself never hurts you. It will show you what's hurting you. It will reveal to you what it is that's got a grip on your heart, but it will never hurt you. And the man was afraid, but he sensed the doctor was a good man. And the doctor closed the door, and of course there was a mirror on the door. And all of a sudden, around the perimeter of the ceiling, all these blue lights came on in the room, just like the little doctor had with his little sort of stethoscope thing. And as the lights came on, the man started looking in the mirrors around him, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Because attached to him, by chains, were these heavy things. He couldn't tell what they were, but they were things sort of hanging on chains, and they were attached to his shoulders, to his chin, to his chest, to his knees. There was about 8 of these things hanging there on him by chains that he couldn't see otherwise than through the blue light. Well, it scared him half to death. Wouldn't that be pretty frightening, wouldn't it? Go in a room, some guy turns on a light. You know what he thought to himself? This guy is just like Disneyland, you know, where you went through the ride and the ghost appeared in your chair with you as you went through. And he's Doc. And Doc opened the door, turned on the light. He says, God, what was that? I saw things hanging from me. And the doctor said, those are the woofers. What are woofers? I'm pausing to build tension. Doc said, woofers are the weight of false responsibilities. That's what woofers are. W-O-F-R. The weight of false responsibilities. And he said, every human being, whoever walks in this room, and most won't, because they get used to hating the weight. They get used to glorifying the weight. They get used to finding ways to make themselves idolized and become authorities because of the weight they carry. But every once in a while, a man or a woman will realize that they're not supposed to walk through life with a heavy heart. That the mind's not supposed to be burdened all the time. That one is intended, meant to have fun wherever you go. Wherever you are, with whomever you're with, even if it's someone you don't like, you can have fun. That's a fact, by the way. And the man said to the doctor, well, what on earth do I do about these woofers? And the doc said, well, it's simple. He said, I'm going to give you one of these special devices that I have. And all you have to do is 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night, stand in front of a mirror, hold this little special light that I'm giving you in front of you so that you can begin to recognize and see these woofers for what they are. You'll actually start to see that all the time, not only are you carrying these around, but when you're not careful, they're growing. He said, this simple process of putting the light upon the woofers will change the woofers and they'll fall off of you. They'll actually just fall right from you, like fruit that falls from a tree. He said, really? Oh, he said, I promise. You know, Doc, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. Because I knew something was wrong. And actually, now that you've said it, I do carry around a lot of stuff with me. And I never knew it was more than just a thought. I never knew it was just some idea. I never knew that it wasn't just an idea. I never knew that there was actually something that manifests itself. He said, so thanks so much. Doc says, no problem. Come back and see me in a couple months, in 2 weeks. No charge. Just come back and we'll give you another exposure to the big light. Thanks, Doc. Man leaves. Huh, isn't that nice? Man found out he had a case of the woofers. How many of you suspect you have a case of the woofers? Yeah, that's exactly right. Everywhere you look on this planet, men and women walking around and all of them carrying around these woofers inside of themselves. Now, how many of you would like to have a little light that you could turn on, see the woofer, and the woofer would fall away? That would be swell, wouldn't it? Well, you do have that little light. You do possess that little light, but you haven't learned about it. You haven't acquired the first necessary bits of self-knowledge that make it possible for you, through that understanding of the existence of a condition that by and large is completely invisible to us, that through that higher self-knowledge, that then a person can begin to actually want to see. A man actually wants to become aware of, a woman wants to be aware of their own condition, so that from the knowledge to the kind of ability to be aware of oneself, because one feels the necessity for it, so they're not adding new woofers to themselves. Then gradually in that human being comes this willingness, which is so critical, just like the man, a willingness to see what is true about us, so that in seeing the truth about us, and that's the little light. To see the truth about something is to see through a light, and the light does the work of releasing the false responsibility.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
So, what, for the purpose of the talk now, would be some examples of elementary examples, simple examples of a woofer. Now, woofer stands for weight of false responsibility. Yes? Okay. Now, there are some really obvious examples of woofers. Some of them are so obvious that we don't actually notice them. But here's a simple example of this. Any fanatic is a full-blown woofer. He's not carrying around. He's become the woofer. Like, you've got religious fanatics, political fanatics, environmental fanatics. Those are individuals who believe, to one degree or another, that it is their responsibility to save the world. Everything depends upon this man or that woman to absolutely see that the way that they see life happens. And they're dangerous, aren't they? Aren't fanatical human beings dangerous? Of course they are. And why are they dangerous? Because they're completely identified with a certain belief that they have, that unless the belief is manifested according to the way they've been incidentally fully conditioned to see it, that things will go bad for planet Earth. And of course, if we really examine it, a lot of what goes wrong with planet Earth is born because of the people who are full-blown woofers. Okay. But that's dramatic. Less dramatic, and where we can begin to see ourselves and where these weights of false responsibility come into play for us is in areas, and we'll pick one, where we are enabling others. enabling another human being is a form of a false responsibility. Now, let me explain it to you so we get this. Let's take a person who enables someone, and we'll be dramatic again, someone, they live with someone who abuses them. This is a slightly more dramatic instance. Anyone who lives with someone who abuses them, anyone, enables the abusive behavior, period. You live with someone who is cruel or physically aggressive. You live with someone who finds some kind of pleasure in keeping their thumb on top of your head, and you stay with that human being without making the efforts to change it or finally depart it. You're enabling in that human being a certain kind of life, a certain kind of belief that he or she has about themselves that turn them into the kind of person who punishes others. So when we enable people, and how about drugs and alcohol? If here's a person, they've got a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, or any kind of addiction at all, and you spend time coddling that person, mothers sometimes will enable their children because the child goes through certain kinds of behavior, and the mother will enable that child to continue that behavior. Why? Because the mother, the person who lives with the addict, the woman who lives with the abusive man, or man with abusive woman, that person, and this is a key now, please listen to it, that person enables that person that punishes them or that they turn into something compromised because of that person's false belief. Now listen, this is a key principle here. All false responsibilities in life, all false responsibilities have their root in a false belief. All false responsibilities have their root in a false belief. And we'll examine this relative to someone who enables a person. What's the false belief of someone who enables another human being? That, simply put, that his, her, my child's complete well-being depends entirely upon me sticking out what I have to with them so that they can make it and be okay. And that's what people do. The people who have abusive relationships live with that person they live with because they believe that one day that person won't be like that if they just stay long enough inside of that relationship. And that somehow they're responsible to see that that person makes it out. Now, I don't have to tell you statistics, and this isn't that kind of talk, but I can tell you that that false belief that person has, that they have to somehow keep that child, whatever it is, or that man or woman, whatever it is, has nothing whatsoever to do with the child or the man, but has something to do with the person in the relationship who's doing the enabling behavior. Why? Because the real root of that false belief is that I must have him, her around me the way I want them around me, or I'm going to be unhappy. I'll lose something. Something will be taken from me. And so that false belief that that person has about themselves in relationship with that other human being produces the idea that I'm responsible for this person. Of course, can you see also that it's the absolute opposite of that? That what I call being responsible for someone that I'm enabling, I'm not being responsible for them, I'm actually wrecking them. And that we always wreck anything that we have assumed a false responsibility over. Always. It's impossible not to do it. But the next step in this, that this false belief has, if you will, part of it gives rise to a false desire. A false belief gives rise to a false desire. In this instance, the false desire is that I have to continue to support this relationship. My desire is that I have to keep this going. And if we look at it again, the reason that I have to keep it going, the reason I feel responsible for this, for the attitude or the actions of another person, is why? And you should know this. Because if their attitude or actions run contrary to the way I think they should be, then I suffer. And when I suffer, I don't want to suffer, so I'll try to change their behavior, and I'll become responsible for it, believing that I can actually make changes in people by doing what? By compromising myself and the person that I'm in relationship with. And the false desire finally gives rise to a false purpose. You got false belief, gives rise to false desire. The false desire gives rise to a false purpose. And what's the false purpose in this instance? I'm going to bear what I have to until I finally get everything straightened out and running right the way I imagine it'll be. In other words, this person will no longer be the person they were when I met them, but they'll become a much better person, and all I have to do is bear everything until they do it. Now, I'm not saying throw the baby out, so to speak, in the instance where you recognize there's some problems in relationships. We can work at these things. But when a person begins, and this is key, to become absolutely dependent upon the person who acts towards them in an abusive or destructive manner, and then stays in a relationship like that, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the other human being anymore, but rather that my purpose in life is so connected with what? With actually resenting the person who doesn't do what I want them to do. I actually carry around with me a certain feeling like that. You know what? I'm actually, how do I say this? It becomes my comfort to go into conflict whenever I see that situation. So familiarity is bred in us through these relationships like that. And now finally, because I had to put those ideas about false belief giving rise to false desire, giving rise to false purpose. Why? Because before a person can learn to let go, before a person can awaken to himself in any way whatsoever, which is a precursor to being free, they have to understand that the only solution there is, and listen to this please, the only solution there is to any suffering that is born of a false belief is to see that it's a false belief. The only way a person is released from a false responsibility born of a false belief is to see that they are living with a false belief. If you don't see it's a false belief, then you're like the child in the room who wakes up and thinks there's a monster in the closet. The child believes the monster is in the closet. For his belief, he's filled with a desire to pull the covers over his head. And his purpose is to never go in the closet again as long as he lives. Because his belief has created a condition inside of himself where the monster is real because his belief tells him all there is that. And every action that the child takes towards and from the false belief does what to the child? It strengthens the existence of the monster, doesn't it? Is there anything the child can do with that false belief other than have an adult show the child that the belief is a false one that can ever free that child from the monster that lives in the closet? Do you understand the question? So if let's say the child goes and he gets himself a sword and a shield, is that going to do anything to the monster? So does hating someone that you've enabled for being the kind of person that you've wound up enabling do anything about the belief that puts you in that relationship? See, to be free of false responsibilities in life, false relationships in life, one must recognize they wouldn't have the punishment of that relationship were it not for a false belief that went prior to the existence of the relationship. And that it's the false belief that has to be released long before it's possible to walk away from the encumbrance of a sense of responsibility that's been born out of that false belief. Tell me you understand this. It's so important, I can't tell you. See, we struggle with people. We struggle with relationships. Oh, he's an idiot, she's this, what's wrong with him that he doesn't see the way I want to see it? And then we carry around the idea somehow or other that either I have to be responsible for straightening that out, or I'm going to resist and reject anyone who doesn't see things the way I do. And all the person is really walking around with, the woofer, the weight of the false responsibility, is something that's been formed in their mind since childhood, conditioned to live with ideas that produce a constant behavior that in turn makes the person take on a false responsibility. The person who enables another human being believes the only choice they have is to somehow keep that person in line, save that person from themselves. That's what the person does. Why? Not for the good of the other human being, but because that person, without knowing it, believes that without that person in their life, they won't be anyone. They won't have a chance. Nothing good will happen to them. So for the false belief comes the false responsibility of holding intact, by the way, that which should never be kept intact. We as human beings working for a better life must never take part in helping another human being to hurt himself, to hurt herself in any way whatsoever. Now, pretty important what I covered, because now we're going to start talking about the 8 great false responsibilities of life and how we can escape them by understanding them. And when we go through this list, I'm going to first give you the false responsibility that's born of the false belief. Then I'm going to touch for a moment on what the true responsibility is. Then I'm going to describe to you the consequence of what happens when a person ceases to live from true responsibility and accepts the false responsibility as being their life. And as we go through this list, the best use of your time is not to try, in quotes, to defend yourself or think to yourself, does this fit? Just sit back, take a deep breath, and listen. How many of you ever were in school and thought that if you really looked like you were listening, you might get a better grade? It really doesn't work. Because then you're more intent on looking smart than living smartly. So the last point before we go to these 8 points, I want to say it one more time. We just don't suspect that we are packed full of these beliefs about ourselves and about life. We don't suspect it. And that the root of whatever it is that causes us to feel unhappy, sad, to have no fun, the root of no fun is false beliefs that produce a false sense of self through false responsibilities. And you'll see it as we go through this list, how it works. And when we're done, I would really recommend that you go back and think these things through. Look at them clearly and see how they fit in your life. Because the more you're able to add that little light onto the woofer, the more we bring that little light to the woofer, the sooner the woofer falls away.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
First of the eight great false responsibilities of life is born of the false belief that we must at all times be in control of everything. How many of you know that you feel that you're supposed to be in control of all things at all times? That's what. Look at a human being, and wherever he or she is, that's basically where they're at. It is the first of the eight great false responsibilities of life is born of the false belief that we must at all times be in control of everything. How many of you know that men and women should only talk to you in certain tones? How many of you know that the weather, that song from Camelot, and the snow must never, you know, that the weather has to be what the weather has to be. Will you fill in the blank? You ever wake up in the middle of the night and hate the night? Because I'm not supposed to be awake now. You get up in the morning and someone calls you with some news. You don't even want to answer the phone. That's how much we want to be in control of life. We don't want to. How many of you know the phone rings at an odd time and you know something's wrong? The false belief that we have to be in control of all things at all times gives rise to this sense of responsibility that I have to see that things go the way I want them to go. And when they don't go the way I want them to go, what happens to me, by the way? What kind of person do I become when I don't win at whatever it is that I think I'm supposed to win at? You know the answer, don't you? I get negative. I get sour. I become someone full of all kinds of viperous words and thoughts and feelings towards others because it didn't happen the way I wanted to. Now that brings us to the true responsibility. Here's our true responsibility. We must learn to welcome everything that happens to us as an invitation to transcend the part of us that carries around the weight of the false responsibility. How will I ever know that I'm afraid where I go? Because if things don't go the way I want to, where I've gone to, then I'm going to wind up being an unpleasant human being. How many of you know that you avoid situations that you think to yourself, I'm not going to go do that? And then you'll give yourself lots of reasons why you won't go do that. But the fact is, the reason you don't want to go do that is because you know if you go do that, you're going to see something about yourself that you don't like. So the first of these eight great false responsibilities, the idea that I have to control everything, is born of this belief that somehow or other I have to be in charge of the whole world. And you're not here to be in charge of the whole world. You're in here, and this brings us to number two of the eight great false responsibilities. Is born of the false belief that the measure of our worth is determined by the size of the kingdom that we have to keep adding to. The false belief that the measure of myself is only as great as what others see me having and as I see myself having in comparison to others. And you think about it for a second. What are men and women on this planet occupied with other than carrying around, back to the woofer, the weight, not just of what they're trying to accomplish so that they can be a sense of elevation in themselves according to their friends and peers, but carrying around the weight of all that they've already added to themselves. Have you not had the experience of doing something, trying to get something that you thought would make you a little bit freer, and find out that not only you're not freer, but now you don't have any fun like you used to? Because you've accepted a responsibility born, what, out of a false belief that I can make myself into something that's pleasant and fun and nice by adding things to myself. One cannot add things to themselves, increase the size of their kingdom, without increasing the conflict they are in with other human beings pursuing the same ends. Now, the true responsibility in this instance is a simple one. Claim thyself. Claim thyself. Claim yourself. Learn what it means to be in possession of yourself. Because when you're in true possession of yourself, you're not trying to get your hands on something that will make you feel as though you're real. You're living from a real life, if you will, from the real light inside of you that is adding to you moment to moment to moment, pouring itself into you, a certain sense of yourself that nothing can be taken away by the changes of the world. And that's the last part, because the consequence of being an individual living under that false belief that the measure of his worth is determined by how much he has and what he can add to himself, is that such a person walks around in an endless state of competition with the world around him, and because of the competition, a constant, the weight of isolation. So the weight of isolation is the woofer. The weight of always trying to figure out what I have to do and get so that I'll feel safer, more confident. And such people, and all of us are all the time adding to the weight of ourselves, and because of that, trying to figure out what we need to do to free ourselves. And try to see that picture quickly. The more a person tries to free himself by the designs of his own mind, born of these false beliefs, the heavier the person gets, because he keeps adding thoughts to himself, keeps adding ideas and images and hopes and dreams, adding all this, hoping it's going to spring him loose, and all it really is dragging him down. Number three of the eight great false responsibilities of life is born of the false belief that unless we worry about our tomorrows, they're not going to turn out right. Talk about a false responsibility. How many of you feel pretty comfortable carrying the whole world on your shoulders, being responsible for whatever it is that happens, wherever it happens? This is the false belief. What? And can you see that this false belief, and it is, Christ himself said, take no thought for the morrow. You see that when I'm worried about tomorrow, and let me put this tomorrow in quotation marks, because tomorrow can be 10 seconds from now, can't it? I'm worried about what I'm going to say to my employer, to my friends. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about what's going to happen when I get that piece of mail I'm expecting. Or I'm worrying about what will happen in 15 years from now if this and that don't happen. You cannot make tomorrow into anything. Now listen to this. Into anything brighter or better than your potential to be present to yourself in the moment, to the fears that are trying to convince you you have to take actions about tomorrow. If you plant a fear seed, you grow a fear tree. And our worries about our tomorrows have nothing whatsoever to do with the way we excuse ourselves for them. Because I want to tell you something. You can be absolutely the most passionate man, the most passionate woman in the world about your tomorrow. You can have the greatest expectations in the universe for success and excellence in the moment to come. And that wish, that longing, that natural aptitude we have to want to be excellent beings has nothing, nothing whatsoever to do with the tomorrows that we envision where something has gone wrong, and that's why we have to protect ourselves in the present moment. The real excellence in a human being never protects itself. It's always fulfilling its own potential by catching the fear that would drive it to that form of perfection, what it calls perfection. So, false responsibility, trying to get all this tomorrow worked out. Boy, I got to get everything. How many of you know that about yourself? How many of you know that either you are or people are who cannot live without a book that they write 50,000 things into so they know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen? Do you understand that that's hell on earth? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I've got an appointment at this time. That's different. I'm not talking about doing the practical kind of thinking. I'm talking about the kind of person that punishes themselves out of the belief that everything isn't planned tomorrow. It's going to be a punishment for me. That's the false responsibility. The true responsibility I've been talking about is to be actively present. Actively present. That's what we were saying. A man or woman learns to be passionate about the moment because they're present to it, but they're patient in the moment. And they recognize that the moment is the seed. Tomorrow is not what matters. What matters is my attention to where I am and what I am and what's moving through me right now. In other words, am I living from a woofer? Is this false responsibility driving me to things that produce more false responsibilities or not? Number four of the eight great false responsibilities of life is born of the belief that we must appease our own suffering. Number 8, born of the false belief that we must appease our own suffering. Now, what does that mean to us, that we must appease our own suffering? How many of you know that the minute that something starts to go wrong and you start to get negative, that the first action on your part is to try to get rid of that which you say is causing you the uncomfortable feeling? How many of you know that when you get negative over something, that the whole process of getting negative for us presently is a pathway to the refrigerator and the remote control for the tube? How many of you know that when you start to get angry or upset about something, that the way in which you get rid of that anger or upset is find the person or the event to blame that negative state on? This is what it means to appease one's own suffering. It means that one believes first, and this is absolutely critical that you understand it, one believes that the suffering that I'm experiencing in this moment is produced by a condition outside of myself. That's the false belief that gives rise to the false responsibility of believing that I have to save myself from my own sadness. No suffering that a human being does is created by a condition outside of himself alone. Everything that happens in our life, please listen, is born to help us recognize that within us exist conditions waiting to be revealed through those kinds of circumstances so that we can let go of ourselves, not protect the self that suffers. Do you understand that when you try to get rid of a pain, a sorrow, a sadness, an anxiety, that when you're rushing around, do you understand that you're trying to get rid of that pain? You understand it? And you get rid of it by trying to appease it. Now, how many of you rush around? When you rush around, are you not trying to appease the pain? If I could just get where I want to get to, that'd be the end of my pain, right? So I'm going to do what the pain says to do. Now, what is that born out of? Isn't it born out of the false belief, and it is a false belief, that this pain is mine? I tell you, that pain is not yours. It belongs to a nature that's been fabricated inside of you over the years from a series of false beliefs that have become crystallized, that a person finally believes that unless I get there or do this or achieve that, somehow or other, this suffering will never go away, so I will answer the pain. And I'm telling you that every time, well, you do what? I'll go to the consequence first. Every time you appease the pain, do you free yourself of it? If I appease the suffering in myself, do I free myself of the suffering, or do I only momentarily put it away and then it comes back? And doesn't it come back stronger? So the true responsibility, as opposed to this false one, is that one must learn to bear his or her own manifestations. What does that mean? I have to learn to bear my own unhappiness. I have to learn to bear this fear, bear this anger. What does it mean to bear it? Not push it down, not wish it weren't there, but to put the little blue light on it. To be awake to it. To become finally conscious of the fact that for 30, 40, 50 years I've been trying to appease my own pain. I've comforted myself almost to death. And by the way, do you know that's actually true? What do you think drug and alcohol addiction is born out of? People who don't know what to do with their pain. What do you think the addiction of thinking yourself, what do you think all that's about? All trying to get rid of this pain. Only when you begin to understand that this false responsibility, this idea that I have to appease my own suffering, only as you start to recognize, you know what, it doesn't work, then you'll begin to do the true responsibility, and it will begin to show you over and over again that that which you feared is just a mechanical force, just a condition that's turning inside of you. And as it turns inside of you, you have the capacity to let it turn without you getting burned by it. You let it go on, you watch it, and you watch it leave. Then you're not appeasing anymore. You've found a way to please your true self that has none of that in it.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks 4 times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
Number 5 of the 8 great false responsibilities of life is the belief that we alone must see to it that anyone who ever wronged us gets exactly what they deserve. How many of you know that? Yeah, I believe that, boy. I believe that unless I straighten out what he did, unless I straighten out that person who's as wrong as they could possibly be, now what? What's the false belief? The false belief is that there'll be no justice. So I have to be the angel of vengeance. I have to be the one who sees that that person knows just how wrong they are, because unless I show them how wrong they are, they'll never know. The reason that that's a false belief that rises up into that false responsibility is because you live in a universe that is perfect justice. You live in a universe where everyone gets exactly what they are moment to moment. And if you understood that, you would realize that in the moment where that false responsibility rushes over you and you're going to punish someone or show them where they're wrong, in that split second, if you could see what I'm talking about, you would see in your own nature the very pain of the judgment that you have put on that person. You would actually become kind. You say, you know what? Here I am, I want to punish somebody for what they're doing, but God, I'm punishing myself with this wish to punish them. And I can feel it. I don't need to worry about that person. Man, I got to take this log out of my own eye before I start talking about the beam in yours. And you'd see it perfectly, and you'd know it was perfect because you saw it perfectly in yourself because of that little light, that wish to be awake and aware of yourself. You say, no, God, I can let go at last. And listen to this, please. I can let go at last of all those that I wish got theirs. Your ex-wives, your ex-husbands, the people that betrayed you, all the people that you walk around carrying that vindictive seed towards, they are suffering in ways you can't know. But you can know just how much they suffer when you catch yourself wishing that they were suffering. Because then you're suffering what you wish upon them. And that's what begins to give rise in you this beautiful, we'll call it the true responsibility. Not to try to correct others, but to be self-correcting. What a great, true, wise responsibility a person assumes when they say, you know what, I'm gonna stop thinking about other people and what they're doing wrong. And why is his attitude like that? How many know like that? Why is his attitude like that? What kind of attitude asks, why is his attitude like that? You see it, you know what? That attitude that I'm blaming in him, I'm doing it. I'm going to be self-correcting, and self-correcting is self-elevating. And self-elevating is the same as rising up into that light we're talking about that shatters these false beliefs we have, that we have to be the policeman of the universe. Number 6 of the 8 great false responsibilities of life is born of the belief that we must be all things to all people. What a burden that is. How many of you know what it's like over and over again to say yes when you really want to say no? How many of you know what it's like, and it's pretty terrible, to go through life and everyone you meet, out of the corner of your eye, you're hoping they're going to smile and give you the approval that you're dying to get? See, the idea, the false belief that I have to be all things to all people gives rise to this sense of responsibility of what? That unless somehow or other I can get people to like me, I won't be likable. I'll be alone. And so a person sells his or her soul for the purpose of getting other people to approve of them. And for that approval, what happens to a person? This is the consequence. This is the woofer. The weight of false responsibility is that a person walks around day in and day out compromising themselves, acting towards others the way they think the person wants to see them act. Where their heart is aching because they've compromised their essential integrity that knows they must never embrace other people, for instance, who do things that enable them. You see, these false responsibilities, if you can see it, they all tie into one another. They're all connected because they're all born of a certain false misunderstanding about ourselves that we'll get to. So what's the true responsibility if it isn't to go through life and try to be all things to all people? It's to be true to myself. Isn't that simple? Be true to myself. Now, what does it mean to be true to myself? How about this? I'm going to stop being true to my fears. I'm just not going to be true to my fears anymore. Look, how many of you realize that it's fear that makes you fawn? Yes? How many know it's fear that makes you lie or be a hypocrite in relationships with others? It's fear. So, can you put two and two together? I'm being true to my fears. And being true to my fears gives me from that false belief that, what? False belief? I have to. What's the monster in the closet that sits behind that person who's true to his fears? That if he doesn't get the approval of someone or something, that he's going to be alone in life. That there'll be nothing except this terrible what? This terrible monster that's in the closet that I've never seen, but that I believe is there because I feel it being there. And I'm telling you, it's not there. What's there is a false belief that gives rise to a whole set of actions between ourselves that produce nothing but contradictory behavior and that compromise us as human beings. Number 7 of the 8 great false responsibilities of life is born of the belief that we must repair the past. How many of you know that woofer? If you don't, let me fix it for you, because there's 2 sides to this. There's long-term woofers and immediate woofers. We'll take the immediate woofers first. How many of you have ever been with somebody and you wanted to make a good impression and realized you didn't? You're sitting there, you're going to throw something off the, you know, like you're going to be really clever and you say the stupidest thing a human being could possibly say. And you look over and the person recognizes that you said the stupidest thing that any human being could say. And then what do? Right away? You say the next stupidest thing that any human being could ever say. Why? I'm trying to repair the past. This is called open mouth, insert foot. How many of you ever go to a business meeting or you're out with us in a social situation and you know that you're going to make the greatest impression you possibly could and you make no impression at all? Worse than that, everybody gets up and leaves the table when you sit down. What do you do at that moment? Don't you relive the moment? Isn't that what we do? Don't we relive everything that's been unpleasant? And by the way, don't we try to relive everything that's been pleasant as well? But this is about trying to repair the past. This is the false belief that I have to repair my own past. I have a bad relationship with another human being. My mother was this kind of person, or my father did that. You fill in the blanks. And the long-term ability, the long-term attempt to repair the past is what? Just the same as the short-term. I revisit it and revisit it and revisit it. I think about it. I go over in my mind the stupid things that were said. I go over what I wish I hadn't done. I go over all the things that could have been different if only I'd done this or been that. Yes or no? And why does one return to something that rips their heart open? This is the question that a man or a woman has to start to ask. Why would I relive something again and again and again if, and here's the point, nothing I've ever done in revisiting what didn't work out changed the fact that it didn't work out. I'm still as angry as I was, or I'm still wishing to be forgiven, and no matter whether it's the anger or the wish to be forgiven, no matter how often I visit and come up with new scenarios in my mind, I still suffer for having visited it. Yes or no? You know it's true. So the false belief that somehow or other I must repair the past carries with it what? The consequence, and listen to this, the woofer is carrying around dead images. Isn't that a weight? Have you not noticed there's a weight that wakes up with you in certain mornings? You get a phone call and someone says things in a certain tone, and all you need is a trigger event to start getting you start thinking about what it is that happened a long time ago. That's a woofer, man! And then the false responsibility comes in with us doing the same things over and over again, trying to resolve it for ourselves. Please listen to me. The self that fears an event, immediate past or long-term past, is the carrier of the event it fears. Were it not for that part of your nature recollecting what wrecked you or wrecked someone else, you would never revisit that situation at all. And that nature calls up these images not for the purpose of resolving them, but seeing that they perpetuate as a form of punishment that drives the individual to have a new purpose in life. I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to go get straightened out by some other human being who's going to explain to me why I keep going through these painful patterns. No one can explain that to you. You have to see the false belief that you're responsible for who you were 2 minutes ago. You're not responsible for who you were when I finished this sentence. What are you responsible for? Being in the room with the mirrors and all the light. You're responsible for being here right now while I'm talking to you, because that's the only way the potential human being can see what it is that compromises him. Have you ever done something because you were in so much pain that caused another human being more pain? You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever had a bad relationship with someone and you think to yourself you're going to straighten out, and then you get with them and you make it worse? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Why? Because the false belief that I have to repair the past. You can't repair the past. But you can be a new man or a new woman right now, and that changes not only what happened to you, but sees to it, it'll never happen again. Number 8 of the eight great false responsibilities of life. Well, actually, let me go back to this because I didn't touch on the true responsibility for that number that I said about it's not your responsibility to repair the past. I did, but I want to strengthen it. Let go of anything inside of you. You catch the party that wants to revisit anything and relive it, you drop it. That's your true responsibility. To catch the part of yourself that wants to revisit and relive, drop it the second that you catch it going on. And you'll know that it's going on, by the way, because you'll start to feel the fun draining out of your heart. Number eight, and the last of the eight great false relationships of life, is born of the false belief that we must create our own happiness. Talk about a woofer. Man. Everywhere you go, no matter who you're with, everybody's figuring out how to be happy. You can buy drugs to be happy. You can have get dump relationships, get new relationships. It's endless. Everything about this planet is like this giant amusement park where you go and buy a package that's supposed to be filled with happiness. And when you get it home and open it, you get a little bit of a, you know, one of those little poppers and some things go out. And then that's the end. Isn't it? We're not. Look at the false belief that I'm intended to create my own happiness is born of the equally false belief that my pain in life is somehow a product of what I've failed to succeed at winning for myself. That's not the case. The case is, and I'll say it to you now, the case is that we're not meant to be self-filling creatures. Happiness is not a product. Happiness is not the result of an effort. Happiness is the essence of a human being who is free of the weight of false responsibilities, because that human being has shed from his soul those kinds of thoughts and feelings that produce an endless string of punishments, because they're always pursuing ways to free themselves from the very weight that sends them on the journey. So you see, the false responsibility, I don't have to make myself, oh, what a relief, because how many of you have done a pretty bad job of making yourself happy? Yeah, we don't do that good. And even the things that we get our hands on around, you know, I'm going to make myself happy with this, turns out to be like a weight, an anchor. The true responsibility, as opposed to the false one, and it's two-part. The first responsibility that covers all of them is to remember the light. That's the first responsibility. Remember the truth. Remember, if you will, this simple idea. I'm not here to walk around feeling as though there's a weight on me. If you feel weight on you at any time, it's because you're carrying around a belief that's driving you through a desire and onto a purpose that's absolutely powerless to appease itself. Remember the light. Why? When I say that we're not created to make ourselves happy, then what will make us happy? Did it ever occur to you that God is good? Did it ever occur to you that the universe is in perfect order? Did it ever occur to you that everything is perfecting itself at all times? It is. In the sea of conflict, there is harmony. We as men and women are intended to be filled all the time by the understanding that our right relationship, our true relationship with life, begins with this true responsibility of remembering our Creator. Whatever word you want to assign. Remembering that which gave me life. Not the idea of just sitting and thinking about it, but actually being present to it. And listen to this, because it's tied to this. As a person starts to recognize, you know, I've been trying to make myself happy all my life. Trying to get rid of people, trying to add people, trying to change this, trying to fix that, and I haven't succeeded at it. But now I'm starting to recognize that some of the best times in my life, the happiest times in my life, have been those moments in which what? In which a certain light came to me, a certain understanding came to me, a certain moment out there in nature, whatever it is, and I didn't have to do anything. It just came to me. It was just there. I looked at my wife and she had a smile on her face. I didn't have to think to myself, what does it mean? I have to worry about approval. I went out and there was my animal friends out there, or whatever it is you say, just happiness. And please listen, because as that takes place, and it's part of the second great true responsibility, is that one learns what it means to consider others before himself. And when we learn what it means to consider others before ourselves, because at last we've stopped putting ourselves first in life, guess what we've done? We've fulfilled the two greatest commandments there are. To love the truth and light first and foremost, and then to know what it means to love a neighbor as ourselves. This is the whole of the summation of true responsibility. And learning about what is false responsibility is the beginning of it. I've given you so much to think about. Eight great false responsibilities born of false beliefs. Learn to become a student of your own life. Learn what it means to see these things, catch the weights, and bring the light of understanding to them. They will fall off, and little by little you will know the freedom that you were created to have.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love. The brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.